Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To edify is to build up and make strong. And it tells us here that the work of those who are apostles and pastors, etc., is to get others involved in ministry. And I think one of the things that has kept the body of Christ held back and weak for so long is this concept that it's the guys up the front who do all the ministry. No, the guys up the front are the ones who train others to do the ministry, to step out and use their gifting. And when it's the whole body that starts to minister, that's when the body becomes strong. And that's when the body starts to move in faith. There's nothing more exciting than knowing that God used you in some way. And the job of Ray and I as pastors is to help you give expression to the ministry gift that God's given you. We're all in ministry, not just Ray and I. And that's another reason why we start by handing these forms out to people, because we want you to step out and do things. I want to see our young ones part of our ministry teams praying for the sick. I mean, they are bold in prayer when you get kids that are up and praying. They're not limited by, you know, could that happen? No, they've got faith. They'll just step out and pray for things and you'll see amazing things happen. Then down in verse 16 of Ephesians 4, it says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Again, we see there the whole concept that the body grows as each and every one of us give of the gift that we carry. God gives us gifts, but those gifts aren't for ourselves. Those gifts are so that we can impart them to other people and they be blessed. And they carry something for you. Sometimes we are praying and asking God for something and he's answered, but he's given it to somebody else to give to us. It's like Christmas time. You know, we could all just go out and buy our own presents. But it wouldn't be nearly as much fun as receiving a gift that somebody else gave you. And God's made the body so that we're like that, so that we just don't receive straight from the Lord. We receive from one another. And the person who gives gets blessed, and the person who receives gets blessed. And we grow together in strength as a body. And that's part of what I believe God has for the body of Christ, is that we come to this greater realization that, hey, each and every one of us has something to give to somebody else. Then it goes straight on in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. It's like, well, we've done a little bit of an abrupt change here. But it's interesting to see that it says, this I say therefore. So it is linked. And it's linked in the Lord's understanding that when we start to see ourselves as part of a body of believers and we start to contribute to that body and we start to grow as a body, there is something very powerful that happens in our life. See, I know as pastors that we see the people who grow the most in a church as those who start giving the most. Pure and simply sowing and reaping. But pure and simply that as we give, we receive from the body. And it's saying here, hey, listen, don't walk like the rest of the Gentiles. Now, this book of Ephesians was written to Gentile believers. So when it's saying the rest of the Gentiles, it's saying the rest of the unsaved people in your city. Don't walk or don't live like them. You should be different. And your lifestyle should be different. But notice here that it says, last line there, walk in the futility of their mind. I think sometimes as believers, we think that, well, we get saved and then, you know, we almost switch off our mind. Now, our mind is meant to be very much involved in how we live as believers. And it's when we don't deal with the area of the mind that we end up with problems. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, let me read again for you verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. What is happening in our mind affects how we live. Then verse 18 goes on to say, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. There's a whole lot of becauses there. Talking about the unsaved, it's saying basically that because of the hardness of their heart, their mind is darkened. And people live out of what their mind concepts are. Whatever is happening in our mind will control how we live. Oh, great. Thank you. Okay, verse 18. Let's jump on to verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Basically, sin is sin. And sometimes people in the church haven't got a revelation like that. We are trying to tell people, hey, stop sinning. The issue is not the sin. The issue is the fact that their heart is not connected with God. When the heart is connected with God, this is the scripture I particularly want to go to. Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. It gives this description of the unsaved. Then it turns around and says, hey, listen, this is not you. This is not how you're meant to be or how you're meant to be behaving. Verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now these are the verses that I particularly want us to head to. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus is truth. And he said when you know the truth, you'll be set free. What that means is the truth of who Jesus is the answer to every problem that we could possibly have. And it says here, not only that we have heard of him, but we have been taught by him. This starts heading into a whole process here. The whole word taught actually means to become discipled by him. It's not just hearing about Jesus and having a relationship with him, but it's allowing him to actually teach us and speak into our life that brings about huge change. There are two things that we particularly go after in the church here. Number one is we go after the whole area of the presence of God because in beholding him, we are changed. But the other aspect that we go after in the church here is also the Word of God. because as we lay hold of the word and as we renew our mind to the word, we are also transformed. And this is the area that Paul starts to address here in Ephesians. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That phrase, old man, refers to who we once were in Adam. But there's a very important couple of words that we need to lay hold of in this to understand what it's saying, because a lot of people think that our old man is somebody we're still trying to kill. But let's have a look at a couple of key words there that you put off concerning your former conduct. Former conduct, in other words, how you are living and not who you are as a person. When you read through the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters establish who we are as believers. It goes through the fact that we have been raised with Christ. In fact, the Bible says that we are new creations in Christ. The old has passed away. Let's go there. This is Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that's Jesus, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Our old man was crucified with Jesus. He is dead. But what it's saying in Ephesians is now put off concerning how you're living, your conduct. It's not talking about nature, it's talking about lifestyle. And there's a big difference. And we need to recognize in the Word of God when it talks about our identity and when it talks about our conduct. So if you're saved, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the old man who you were in Adam is dead. Now we are meant to live like he is dead. Says here in Romans that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We are not slaves of sin or slaves of the devil. We are children of God. That's who we are. Now how we live can look quite different. Let me illustrate it this way. It's a little bit like somebody coming in from being out in the fields or being out in the garden, whatever, totally messy, muddy, smelly, whatever. Having a shower or a bath, whatever, getting totally clean. And then going and putting their old clothes on. We go, ew, yuck. If you're clean, you want to put on clean clothes. And this is what Paul is saying to the Ephesians here. Hey, recognize you're clean. Why are you wearing your grubby old clothes? Those are the clothes that belong to the old man. The old man has gone. Don't live like he's still alive. Don't carry on in a lifestyle that makes you look like you're not even saved. We are born into the family of God. We are meant to be wearing the garments that God gives us. And sadly, there's believers who are running around in the clothes of paupers because they don't know that they are king's kids. But God wants us to wear the clothes of royalty. It's a little bit like Lazarus. In fact, I think Lazarus is a picture of the born-again believer. Jesus calls him out of death. He comes out of death, but guess what? He's still in grave clothes. And sadly, in the body of Christ, there is people who are living still in grave clothes. They are alive on the inside, but on the outside, they are wearing stuff that does not belong to them. And it's time, I believe, for the body of Christ to get rid of the grave clothes and to say, this is who I am in God, and I will walk in the identity of who I am. So let's come back now to Ephesians. If you can read it on the screen. Let's read it again from verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. There's the whole putting off and putting on. The reason that we can put off the old man is because he's dead. We can put off his ways. We're not meant to look like what we used to look like before we got saved. Once we are saved, then we start to change. God changes us on the inside, then we start to change on the outside. God does the impossible part. And then we start to change. And the key phrase, I believe, on this one, again, it's in red, so you can't see it very well, says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The key area to this putting off the old man and living as the new man is all focused on renewing our mind. In fact, it just doesn't say renew your mind, but renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of our mind is really going deeper than just our thoughts, going deeper than just whatever passes through our mind, and coming and dealing with the concepts and the paradigms. See, there's some thoughts that you will accept and there's some thoughts that you won't accept because your mind has a grid or a framework, if you like, that determines the thoughts that you accept and the thoughts that you don't accept. Let me give you an example. If somebody says to you, oh, you're sick, because God wants to teach you a lesson. Now, hopefully, quite a few of you will have a concept in your mind of the goodness of God, and you won't accept that thought. Because you'll say, no, that can't be true. God's not making me sick to teach me a lesson. God's a good God. Good God, bad devil. Very simple framework to have. And it helps us know what thoughts to accept and what thoughts to reject. See, let me give you an example. Well, an illustration, actually. I brought along with me this morning one of our kids' sorting boxes because I think it's a good picture of what our mind's like. See, our mind has a framework. It has concepts and paradigms and beliefs that determines what thoughts we will accept and what thoughts we will reject. So if you've got a thought that comes along, like God's making me sick to teach me something, if you've got a mental framework that will accept that, that thought will end up being accepted by you. And that thought is now part of your concept. And what happens is every time we agree with a lie, we empower a lie. So if you have a framework that allows lies to be accepted, such as God's not pleased with you, you're a failure, you're just going to have to try harder, you need to be up earlier, you need to be praying longer, you need to be reading your Bible more, you're just a hopeless Christian. If you accept that, if there's a framework in you that accepts that thought, you empower that thought and it becomes part of your understanding, your concept of who you are. So as God starts to renew our minds, what he's doing is he's renewing the spirit of our mind. He's reshaping our understanding of who he is, of who we are, so that when a thought comes along, there's no hope for you. You'll never change. You'll always be struggling with that sin. It's like there's no place for that thought to land. Yeah, it comes through, we hear it, but it bounces off. And we don't empower it. So when God's renewing the mind, what he's doing is he's reshaping for us the framework so that what affects us and what we empower in our life changes. So if a thought comes along, you know, you have God's favor. God wants to bless you. That job that you really want and you've been praying and believing for, you'll get that job. You can go along confident because you have the favor of God on your life. It's like, yes. So you've got good thoughts. That may take a while to get in. But as we start to renew our mind, and I believe that's one of the key things that God's doing at this moment. I'm going to finish by reading something that Alex handed to me this morning, and then I'm going to get Alex to come and we're going to have communion together. This is actually a prophetic word by Graham Cook. And he says, proclamation is the key. In the spirit, we must talk our way into everything. In fact, Dalwyn, you could get ready that video clip. We'll see if it goes. In the spirit, we must talk our way into everything. What we believe must be spoken aloud into the atmosphere of our circumstances. We speak from the inner man of the spirit into the outer world of our life situation. Faith comes by hearing and confession. Declaration and proclamation are vital in the ongoing battle to govern in our circumstances. Continuous proclamation opens us up to the upgrade the Father has designed for us. In declaration, we master how to stand in opposition to the enemy. In proclamation, we embrace the identity and the resources that come to us through the Lord Jesus. There is a real emphasis, I believe, that is coming again in the body of Christ regarding declaration. And we are really encouraging people to become part of Igniting Faith in 40 days because the whole structure of the thing is based around changing beliefs and making declarations. And I believe that it will be powerful in our lives individually, and I believe it will be powerful in the church corporately. So I'm going to see if we can push play on it and see what happens. It's only 1 minute long. Those pieces of paper that you had before that I had you fill in regarding updating records and everything and getting involved in helps, I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't already signed up to be part of the Igniting Faith in 40 days, just simply write on it or on the back of it, yeah, I want to be part. If you need a book, say, I want to buy a book or I'd like to borrow a book. And we're going to collect those pieces of paper up. But I really do encourage you to become part of this. It is life transforming. We've been through it before back in 2010. And it's going to be great to take the church through it again. So if you want to grab your papers, write on it, and then pass them all over that way towards the ushers' table. I'll get the ushers to collect them. And Alex, let's have you come.
She said she'd take away the toys. Aww. Don't know if you can see it, but there's colour over there. The bread plate is colourful. The cups are colourful. It's all for a reason. Yeah. Declaration. I've got a declaration this morning. This is a moment for remembering and celebrating. Remembering and celebrating. And we're switching now from thinking about renewing our minds to remembering what communion's about. It's all part of the same, but there's just a little switch there. You see, we can choose to remember our weaknesses and our failures and our needs when we come to communion. We can choose to remember the graphic details of what Jesus, the Son of God, suffered on our behalf. We can also choose to remember what is ours because of the cross. And we can choose to remember what he accomplished through his death and bringing life. Now, the Apostle Paul believed in and wrote about a God who's full of grace and perfect love. And here's some statements from Romans chapter 8. I really suggest you go home and read the whole chapter. We've already had scriptures from Romans, but here's some from Romans chapter 8. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who live and walk after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law could not do, send his own Son as an offering for sin. Now the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. And you are living the life of the Spirit if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells in you, directing and controlling you. I have to say, this is with help from the Amplified Bible. Yeah. The Spirit of God really dwelling within you, directing and controlling you. If Christ lives in you, your spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now the Spirit himself testifies with our own spirit that we are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And in this hope of redemption we're saved. And God, who searches the hearts of men, knows what the intent of the Holy Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. We're assured and know that God works all things together and fits them into a plan for good for those who are called according to his design and purpose. And in verse 30 of Romans 8, Amplified, it says, we're in Christ, we're called, we're justified, made righteous, glorified. And there's so much more there to discover about Christ. Are you relating this to communion? Remembering and celebrating? You see, if God is for us, who can be against us? And he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely give us all other things? And amid all things in Christ, we're more than conquerors through him who loves us. Romans 8's pretty special, you know. Go home and read it. Over and over. Speak it out. So let's choose to celebrate today. Let's remember, but let's celebrate as we marvel at all that Christ Jesus has given. More than that, all that he offers us even now as we walk in his Spirit. The fullness of God's plan for us in Christ is to be conquerors in life, recovering his position, receiving his provision, his healing, and his wholeness because of the finished work of his cross. Christ is in us. He has moved in. So as we celebrate, he celebrates, sharing this meal with us. And here's God's complete plan with all its promise of fulfillment. So let's pray and share in the feast of God's goodness. Let's pray. So Jesus, we come together into you to remember your body, your broken body, and your lifeblood poured out for us. To remember also that your broken body resurrected, living forever, means healing and wholeness now. And to remember your resurrected life lives in us and means abundant life for us who believe. So we remember and we celebrate. We celebrate Jesus our Lord. We celebrate the unfolding of God's perfect plan for us all as he desires. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. So let's come and share with Jesus and celebrate communion.
Great, yes, if people want to just come to the communion, take the bread and the cup.
Since it's sharing, why not get together with someone and share it together? Or if you choose to just sit and spend that time with Jesus, that's fine too. But let's celebrate. And also, what I said about healing and wholeness, if there's anything like that that you think you still need afterwards, do come forward and we'll pray for you.